So uncouth.
What was that, Bunsen?
I said I fucking always sound great. Oh, Caroline's gone. Oh, no, she's there.
All right, can you hear me now?
Beautiful.
I'm so excited to see you guys. I've missed you.
I know. You've got to save up all the good stuff for this 30 minutes.
I know, it really hurts.
I know.
It's like delayed gratification. I've got a question for you. Does delayed gratification really work?
Well, let's do an intro first. So we are going to delay gratification. Just pause. Pause on that thought. Welcome to So Uncouth, a podcast filled with conversations you can't have in polite company. I'm Victoria Hannaford, a recovering journalist. I'm with Caroline Craig. Insert dramatic pause. Actor.
Guten Abend.
She's delaying her gratification.
And our friend, the mysterious Bunsen burner, who has recently added the qualification legal scholar to her CV.
Oh. Scholar. I love that word.
Yeah. It's a broad church, right? We're three friends who live in three different cities. You're joining our weekly catch-up, and we're delighted you're here with us. Now, what do you want to know about delayed gratification, Caroline, now that you've been sitting on it for a minute?
It hurts. And is it better to hold out?
I think I need an example here. Are you talking about, I don't know, have you got anything in mind, Caroline? Or what impulse have you recently given into is the question, really?
Well, it's all about talking to you guys. I'm desperate to talk to you all the time. Like, I've got to ask Victoria this. What am I going to do? And I know I'm going to hold out. I'm going to hold out to our precious, precious 30 minutes. And what do I get? Stories about possums.
I've obviously been talking about this possum so much in my everyday life that today someone actually said to me, oh, listen, how's that possum going? I've obviously been banging on about it so much. Anyway.
But in the real life, have you been taking credit as well, or like is that just restricted to your relationship with people from Wires named Steph?
Well, it really depends on who I'm talking to. As a little bit of a recap, I recently took full credit for keeping a small marsupial alive, and actually I didn't. I mean, I didn't kill the marsupial, but I didn't keep it alive. Anyway, it really depends who I'm talking to, because it's kind of like an extra added layer of the story, because once I get through the vet, the rehab, the, you know, it's quite a long and involved kind of story, and I just kind of, whether or not I'm going to tell them, oh, and then I took, too much.
Or are they just saying, I've got to go, like that took half an hour.
I've had a lot of talk about abject fluids this week, and I think that our podcast might have sparked a lot of period stories.
Oh, really? Is that people coming to you with those, or are you just flowing forth?
I'm not personally flowing forth, but a lot of people have talked about how they do strangely, subconsciously wear white when they do get their period. And also a complaint in an office about blocked plumbing and that it was a generational discussion and that women of an older generation had to speak to younger, let's say millennials, about why they were blocking the plumbing and how embarrassing it was in their office.
What do you mean how embarrassing it was?
Well, is they're blocking them with big balls of tampons? Is that what's happening?
Big balls of tampons. Younger chicks chucking them down in the toilet. Is that uncouth?
That's not embarrassing. That's just a simple conversation. Yeah.
I'll tell you what's embarrassing is when you are on exchange in a foreign country, say when you're 15. This is just a hypothetical, of course. And you don't speak the language. There's no bin in the bathroom to put a tampon. You know, what do? You flush it because you, anyway. And after about 6 months, there starts to be a quite unusual smell. And then you come home one day and the host family has to have a big talk to you about how not to, maybe we won't include that at all. Anyway, it was horrendous.
I do remember as a kid a similar story, actually, of getting my brother, offering to pay him money to clean my room. This is obviously a big mistake. I don't know why. It just out of just pure laziness. I think I was, you know what, maybe I was actually being a good kid, a big, good older sister, and I felt guilty about all those times that I wrapped, you know, chicken stock cubes in fantail wrappers and gave them to him. And so I said, I will give you pocket money if you clean my room. And then I wandered off, you know, I don't know, listened to some Morrissey probably, the Smiths, and put my, you know, Walkman back on. And then I could hear, oh, yuck. And I said to my dad, who was nearby, I said, what is it? And he's like, oh, no, it's all right, it's all right. I think the kids have discovered that you've had your period. And I was like, what is that? What have they even found?
What did they find?
I don't know. Maybe it was some, you know, something in that should have been in a laundry basket. But the most mortifying part of it was, it was my dad going, oh, no, don't worry, it's all right. And I was just like, I just don't want my dad to know about that stuff. Want to cut this?
No, listen,
But there's a lot of shame around it.
This is my point. Yes, and I'm not here for it. Like, one of the best working experiences I've ever had, conversely, probably came in one of my worst ever workplaces, which shall remain nameless. But one of the great things about it was there was open period chat. And I fucking loved it. I thought it was so liberating. And I hate this idea that older women are trying to shame younger women, because what they're shaming them for is actually their periods. It's not about their
toilet practices. I don't think they're shaming them for that. I think they're shaming them because they're not reading the passive-aggressive office signs that are bound to be on the back of every cubicle door.
No, they wouldn't be.
That say
no. There were no signs.
Please don't flush blah blah down the toilet.
No, that's my point though. It's a simple environmental message, and that's fine. You just say to people, the plumbing can't hack it. It's not good for the environment. You've got to put it in the bin.
It's going to cost a lot to get it.
Yeah, but I think actually what people say is it's embarrassing because we have to talk about periods, and like, fuck that.
Well, I suppose that's true. That's true. And yeah. Here we are.
My friend's complaint was, why are younger women throwing tampons down the toilet? Like, don't they know that it's bad for the plumbing?
No, they don't know.
Maybe they don't know.
No, they don't know.
Like, why?
Because we don't talk about it enough,
yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, because of the associated shame. It's all just too embarrassing. And also, I mean, those bins are gross as well. Like, some of them used to have like auto open lids. They mostly don't. They're pretty yuck to handle. They don't get cleaned enough. Like, it's a whole situation in and of itself. If there were just bins that were easy to access.
Yep.
I think you found your calling, Victoria.
Period evangelist.
Yeah. Menstrual missionary.
When you go to the chemist, right, and you buy some tampons, and I swear to God, every time they say, do you want it in a bag?
No.
I'm going to make some earrings out of them and dangle them over my ears and wear them home.
Big, big earrings.
Yeah.
You don't want it to rain. It'd be bad if it rained on the way home, wouldn't it?
Get even bigger.
Your earlobes would just be dangling down. You'd be in agony.
Heavy, heavy.
Heavy flow.
I do remember when I was a teenager getting tampons, putting them underneath the tap. They would, you know, swell up. Then we'd cover them with tomato sauce and then we'd throw them over the neighbor's fence.
Wow. What a waste.
Yet again, you deny your connection to science, Bunsen. That feels very experimental to me.
But it was funny. I hadn't thought about that for a long time because obviously, just so you know, it is a long time since I've done that. But I mentioned it to a friend the other day. And she just kind of went, yeah, as in like, we all used to do that. I mean, yeah.
We all used I'm like, to do that.
Oh, I really thought I was special.
Tampon bombing the neighbours.
I know. Poor Yael. Anyway.
Oh,
no.
I know. I mean, can you imagine finding that? It's pretty.
Yeah, it's rank.
That's pretty gross.
I want to hear.
What do you want to hear? Because I've got something I'm quite annoyed about.
Well, this is what I feel. I've just felt a simmering kind of
rage.
Something from you, Bunsen. It could be rage. I want to hear more from you before I give it a verdict.
But okay.
I feel like you're sitting on something that's really been working you over. So it's time for you to spill.
Okay.
Let's go.
Delayed gratification of blowing your load.
No.
Your top, blowing your top. Blowing your top is what I meant to say.
All right, sure. Well, basically, as was established earlier in the week, off air, so to speak, I'm very busy and important and I haven't got much time at the moment, right? Been doing a lot of work. I have not had much time to really be couth or uncouth. But something that happened in my busy, one of my very busy and important days was that I was getting a coffee, a takeaway coffee, and I had to wait for ages because there was a massive dispute in front of me because someone had paid for somebody else's coffee. Now, this enabled me to really this is something that has actually bothered me for a couple of years, okay? So, yes, I have been sitting on this for a while.
This is really delayed.
But yeah, exactly. I'll tell you at the end of this whether or not it was worth it. But basically, you know those little apple squares? You know, like the white apple squares? Okay. And then people
where you pay for something.
You just pay for something. But you cannot see how much something costs, right? And often
can you not?
It doesn't have the amount on it. And often someone will say something, but sometimes people just hand it to you when they don't even tell you how much it is. Other times they'll tell you, but you're in a noisy cafe or whatever environment, it's quite difficult to hear. And I think that that is wrong. I'll just come out and say it. I think it is wrong and impolite because if you are charging someone money, that person deserves transparency. And so what happened in this particular situation in the cafe was that someone had paid $70 because they hadn't been able to see the amount. And so someone had bought a coffee, one coffee for $70, and the other person had left. Then they both realized what had happened.
They'd done a switcheroo on the bill.
Yeah, came back in, and then it was taking forever to work out what the situation was and how to refund and all of this kind of stuff. And it involved, was like a three-way, well, I'll give you my BSB and then you can just transfer it to me. And, blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, there was this huge queue of people behind me banking up. And I used that queue as my audience, let's just say, to go into a rant that I have been storing up for about 2 years, which is that I think that it is outrageous that at a point of purchase, people do not say, it's not completely transparent how much money you are spending. That's like, you know, I just think all it takes is someone to make a mistake and then to put in 55 instead of 5.
Can I also say that I think that,
hang on, I haven't finished.
Sorry, Bunsen. Sorry.
I then realised that I, just as I currently am, I had gotten a little carried away and I did have to apologise to the other queue of people who were waiting, and basically it ended up in this situation that was slightly where I just kind of went, oh, sorry, it's a real bugbear, and I guess this has just given me a real opportunity to vent my spleen. Yes, I use those words, vent my spleen. And then I had to sort of like turn around and pay for my coffee.
You should be getting a free coffee. You should have all got a free coffee at that moment.
But no one said, oh, it's, you know, however much gazillion dollars coffees are now, $5 or whatever. No one said anything. I just had to just pay for my thing. No one, like my rant had no effect, basically. So here I am ranting to you guys.
Are you going to change capitalism? That's what I'm saying to you.
I just think that those Apple Pay things, I just don't understand. I think it's outrageous.
There's two things I want to say here. May I speak? Is this an appropriate juncture?
Sorry, I feel like, it's like, I do actually feel quite upset.
Do you think it's illegal? Right. I actually think it might be illegal to not have an exchange about the cost of something. So, you know, take your legal training and maybe investigate it. But can I also say something else? That where I shop, which is a food market, it almost never happens that I don't see the amount people will turn around the screen and show me. So maybe it's an Adelaide thing. Maybe we're more polite here.
Yeah. And they got time. They go, got time. Go.
They don't want to tell you. You're all squillionaires.
Or they're all just kind of like, hey, we're all so rich anyway. Let's just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if someone is paying $70 for a coffee, I do think things have gone awry.
No, she'd bought seven coffee, you know, like she'd bought some other foodstuffs, right?
Seven coffees. Now that isn't right. There's something wrong there.
Let's just say.
I think we need to look at the, you know what? Get a coffee machine and make your own. Undercut them.
I did not.
Give them away.
I did not inspect her bags for her purchases, but let's just say for argument's sake, she'd bought 14 coffees for $70. Still outrageous, right? But what had happened was that the woman who bought one coffee accidentally paid for the woman who bought 14. And no one knew because they couldn't see what they were paying for. Rude. Uncouth. No couth.
Well, it depends how you pay. If it's a tap and go with a physical card, you'll never see. But if it's on a phone, you should get a notification straight away. But Bunsen,
who should be, I mean, legally, you're right, Victoria, where's the onus? The onus is not on the customer to check if there is transparency on their phone. The onus is for the at point of purchase.
I know. This is the price we're paying for convenience. I just got a question for you, Bunsen. What was the sort of reception like from your, let's say, audience in the cafe? You were taking a stage. Perhaps in your Hamlet era. You were delivering
your confidant, your soliloquy.
I was going, it was my monologue.
Exactly. Your to be or not to be speech.
Yeah.
Tell me, did you get a polite round of applause? Did you feel like a kind of anti-capitalist hero? What? Give me the vibe.
I pretty much just got like a pretty blank, like I think I may have seen someone looking at their phone out of the corner of my eye. Like, you know, and no one really gave a rat's. And that's why I'm telling you guys, because I obviously, as I said, I use the phrase vent my spleen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can only truly vent a spleen when people acknowledge your spleenage, when people acknowledge what you've said. But really, it was kind of like I was just talking to, you know, myself. And perhaps I was. Perhaps I was.
Did you feel that they perhaps needed a voice, you know, that you were stepping in there and you could see that there was discomfort in the group and you were just voicing a, you know, a more of a communal spleen?
I think I was creating a lot of discomfort in the establishment. And unfortunately, it is one that I frequent or at least pass pretty much every day. So let's just say, listen, there's another cafe that's nearby that's refusing to take a photo of my dog. But anyway, that's a whole other situation.
Here's a question for you, though. When is it right to vent your spleen? Because that brings me to another thing. I had a similar situation. We were all on the tram trying to get to school and then we were all thrown off the tram.
And, what did you do?
It wasn't just me this time. We were all thrown off because the Grand Prix, right? And the trams had to stop and then they had to turn around and then other trams had to come in. All of us, all these busy people trying to get to work and all the tram drivers having to turn giant trams around on tracks. And I turned to someone and I said, "What? This is just ridiculous. I mean, what are we supposed to do? I mean, the poor tram drivers and all because of the Grand Prix." See, and I did turn to one woman who I thought might be sympathetic to my callers. But I don't know if everyone else was, And is that just sympathetic?
Was she sympathetic? What was her response?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Which is, I think, the response you want.
Can I ask another question of you guys?
Mm.
Did at any point, did the feeling of, where are you going, Caroline? What's all of that?
Oh, I've just got to get my power cord. Cal's brought this down without my power cord.
Okay.
Come back.
Let's hope she doesn't tell us about pubic hairs when she returns this time.
Listen, I enjoyed that. I'd happily know which sort of DNA-laden materials where in the house.
Are you going to ask your question now or do you want to wait until Caroline returns?
I think I need to wait because I think it applies to both of you and there's something that I just want to – I think maybe it's time for a, you know, light confrontation. Look, it's just occurred to me.
I'll interfrent you, Caroline. Victoria wants to have an interfrention with the two of us.
She can't hear. She doesn't got the headphones on.
Ah, that's what she says, huh? Okay.
Is it right to vent spleens?
Oh, no. Just got to say, while you were gone, Victoria has decided she wants to have an interfrention with the both of us.
Uh-oh. Again? Guys, what did I do this time?
I just want to reflect on the last few minutes and say that it sounds like you both had a bit of a Karen episode and you're displaying some Karen-aristics.
Oh, right. You know what? Well, I object to the term Karen 100%. And if you want me to Karen that, I'll Karen it.
We're having a Karen off.
Yeah, I'll Karen, yeah?
You can't speak to my manager. I don't got one. I'm the boss of myself. Thank you. I have a little quiz for you guys.
Oh, multiple good. Choice.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. So brace good. Yourselves. I realised that two truths and a lie was a little bit complicated for you last week, Hudson.
It was complicated, but you know what? I was reflecting on it and I realised why. It was because of your double negative situation. Yes. It wasn't which thing did I do, it was which thing did I narrowly avoid doing.
Yeah,
and I mean, that was, it blows my mind even still. But here we are. We've recovered. We're moving on. What do we got?
Some mental gymnastics required this week. I was the victim of a hit job.
No.
This week. Psychological hit job.
Ooh.
From the older generation.
Were you related to the older generation?
Listen, you can choose from four options.
Yep.
Did a boomer accuse me of having an interest in liquid speed, leave a shopping trolley right next to my car, cut in front of me in a queue, or D, all of the above?
Oh, wow.
Was it the same That's boomer?
Brutal. No.
A few.
Well.
She was multi-boomed.
Hang on. Are these the psychological hit jobs?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you please, say them again?
Did a boomer.
Yes.
I mean, basically I've given it away.
Yeah. Because you did say that you were a victim of a psychological hit job. I was thinking there'd be something. I thought there'd be something far more intricate. Like I felt like someone would be gaslighting and, you know.
No.
So what was the liquid speed situation?
That was my own mother. All right. Family group chat. Let me tell you, it is always treacherous waters. Every day family group chat. Who knows which way it's going
to
go?
What, was she referring to too much coffee? What was the story?
No. No. Someone, my brother, shared a picture of a chili sauce that I might like. He's like, it's not available in the retail market. And I was like, that's great. It's off market. How hot it's is hot. It? Boom, boom, boom. And my mother's like, what is it, liquid speed? I'm like, I didn't even know. You know what? I feel like she's been listening to ABC Radio too much and she's just hearing the news of the day. Maybe liquid speed is a new drug that's like all the rage.
She obviously is in need of a new podcast. Why not send her a little
code? No, we're going to get to that. she knows. Yeah, anyway, we'll get to that. I also had an older lady leave a shopping trolley right next to my car. So she'd requested help with getting her her groceries into her car. More than happy to oblige. She just leaves the shopping trolley without a word.
But Victoria, if she's having trouble putting her own shopping in the car, she's also probably going to have trouble wheeling a trolley. Like,
I know.
Why would she not just help with that?
She could have said something. And then she just was like... See you later. Thanks very much.
She wasn't specific enough in her request. Is that the psychological hit job there?
She said to me, I am a geriatric delinquent and would you mind putting my groceries next to my car, which was like a little over the way, right? And so she wheeled her trolley between two cars, one of which was mine. I was like, no probs, I'll put them in the front seat. And then she just kind of jumped in the car, waved and just was like, see ya, and just left the trolley like kind of wedged in between my car. And it just was a bit odd.
You know what? She told you at the outset she was a delinquent. I mean, I just don't understand.
Yeah. Jump and run. Yeah. Jump and run, she did.
You'd feel
oh, help me. Sucked in. Yes. Never give a sucker an even break.
It did feel a little bit like she was like, hey, see ya. Anyway.
The mean streets of Adelaide, mean streets.
And what, yeah, and someone cut in front of me in a queue. That's fine. I listen. That's an everyday occurrence, no biggie. But my mother has found out we had a podcast and she is enraged.
Oh.
For some reason. She hasn't even heard it and she's mad about it.
Oh. So, is she refusing to listen on a mysterious principle that we don't know about?
Well, she doesn't know how to. So. Oh.
Well, that's the one thing I'm getting over with my parents. I don't want them to listen to it because I don't want them to have any more ammunition.
No.
All right? They're already firing Berettas whenever I come in. But my mum has said, what have you got a podcast for? What could you possibly talk about? And someone,
that's actually a very good point.
Said, it's very true. And then they said, well, coming from the woman who watches dog washing videos for 8 hours a day on YouTube.
Well, interestingly, my mother was kind of similar. She's like, what are you talking about? Who's listening? Why would anyone want to listen? How do they listen? And
she gave herself away with the how.
Yeah.
How
well, I was like, I'm on completely terra firma here. It's fine. If she never hears it, everything's good. But she did sort of say, why is it called So Uncouth? Shouldn't you be elevating yourself? And I just thought, you're never going to get it. It's never going to – you're not part of our core audience. You'll never be a member of the Couth.
Well, also, I mean, maybe she needs to be a member of the Couth to understand that there's a certain kind of elevation and liberation that comes with being so uncouth.
Free of shame, mate. That's us.
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying – I just said I left my mum with a cheese toastie just before on the side of a hill, very irresponsible, just saying I've got to go. I've got my podcast to do, and then just disappeared. A bit like your mate with the shopping trolley. Just ran. I dumped. It wasn't even a proper cheese toastie.
It
was a wrap that I'd made. I'd melted cheese in. It was very dangerous, actually. Molten lava in there. I raced up. Worse than that, though. Listen to this. My mother-in-law, wonderful friend of mine, she just said on the phone, "I've just done a So Uncouth marathon." And her eyes sort of crossed a bit and I was like,
And how did she go with it?
Wow.
That should come with a health warning. I would not recommend. All right. Well, I think we have almost so uncouthed for long enough, but I do have one last item.
I just want to say I'm still feeling like I thought that I put my rage about the point of purchase.
You're still angry about point of sale.
Oh, hang on. Is there something left in the tank, Bunsen?
They're small and white squares. It's a small white squares, isn't it? They're driving you mad. You want to rip them out of every retail establishment.
Your spleen is not fully ventilated. Is that the thing?
I think I perhaps need to make a kind of therapist appointment because I'm feeling so outraged that it's possibly not about Apple Pay at all. I'll get back to you next week. We'll talk.
Can I suggest you go and pay your therapist with cash money? Freud said that was very important, handing over the
cash.
Yeah,
well, I mean, if my therapist gives me an Apple Pay-like thing, which is a very therapist thing to do because it's a real then...
Invoice.
Oh, invoice, Jesus. Anyway, all I'm saying is next time someone asks you to pay for something without telling you how much it is, I mean, it's just a basic... Anyway, sorry.
Someone's going to pay.
I've got to stop. Sorry.
Okay.
Give us a wind-up, Vic. We need it.
We need to wrap up. This is So Uncouth of the Week from the natural world.
No, excuse me, I didn't fart.
Is it a bone-eating snot flower worm?
Close. Headline from ABC News in WA. So this is Australian news. For those of you overseas, none of us live in Western Australia, so, you know. Local-ish, sperm whales drop bubble of poo off WA to prevent orca attack in rarely recorded encounter. The sperm whale avoided predation. Thank you.
Yeah.
By releasing feces in an intriguing self-defense mechanism. It's called
strategic poo. I think that is a topic for a whole podcast.
It's called defensive defecation. And I want to know, what is your best defense mechanism? Mine is the sound of my voice.
Well, listen, just when you said that about the sound of your voice, this is kind of a little bit of an aside, but I have once been realized that I was irritating a certain celebrity so much that after about half an hour, he just kind of went, listen, I've got some sinus medication if you need it.
Is that just with your breathing? Your breathing was upsetting them?
No, just my nasal tones. So anyway, obviously that's not really a great defensive mechanism because look what happened. I was insulted.
I've got a few. I feel like I'm like the sea urchin of people. Like I've got spikes all over the place. I've got them lazy eyes and many people who I've approached, perhaps in an affectionate manner, and so they said to me, are you looking at me? Are you talking to me? And looked away and then walked away because I think my lazy eyes might actually make people feel like I'm potentially going to pull a machete out from behind me.
Interesting. I think the other defence mechanism I've kind of realised, maybe just in this context, if I want to stop someone in their tracks, it's mentioning your career as a singer-songwriter. Bunsen. Shut things all the way down. And on that note,
shut it down.
On that note.
Oh, yeah. Even comments gone off now. Listen to him.
It's time to say cop yous later.
Oh, cop yous later.
She knows how to clear a room, even a virtual one.